have your Bible with you this evening, I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the first book of Kings. Turning to 1 Kings in the chapter 10. And as you turn to that portion of Scripture, I'd like to thank the Reverend Brown, first of all, for his invitation to come and minister the Word here this evening. And also like to thank him for his warm words of welcome. It's good to be back home again, back in Belfast, where I was born, the top of the Craigie Road, 14 Willowfield Gardens. And so it's good to be back home again, and glad to have my wife Doreen with me also, and to renew fellowship with so many of my friends here in Ulster. I do bring you greetings from my little flock in the town of Port Hope. You may wonder, where on earth is Port Hope? Well, if you get a map of Canada and go to the province of Ontario and find Toronto, and then cast your eye to the right of Toronto, you'll find a little dot there in the name Port Hope. It's about 60 miles east of the city of Toronto. The Greater Toronto area has a population of 4.5 million. Port Hope has a population of 16,000. And so it's quite a small town. We've been laboring for the Lord there by His grace for 24.5 years. October of this year will mark our 25th anniversary. And we're looking forward to Reverend William McCrae coming out and conducting a week of meetings for us to mark that anniversary. I do thank you for your prayers over the years, and just to say to you, we have been praying in our church, and others have been joining with us. We've been praying for 6 new families. We have a small congregation that always has been small. It's a small congregation. I only have about 20 or so people on the Lord's Day, if everybody's there. We do get an encouragement over the summer months when quite a number of Dutch Reformed people come. They heard about us about 12, 14 years ago. Whenever they were in the area, they never had anywhere to worship. And they found our church. They went back to their own church and churches and said, if you're ever in Port Hope, there's a church you can go to and worship. And so they come to us over the summer months, and we're certainly glad to have them. It's quite an influx of people, and they've been very good to us and very supportive of us over the years. But we'd like to see people like that with us every Lord's Day. And so we're taking it upon our hearts for the past number of years to pray for 6 new families. And if you, in your prayer time or church prayer meetings, we would just remember Port Hope. There's a hymn written that you often sing. It's a Port Hope hymn. It was written in Port Hope. It was written by an Ulster man, a man from Banbridge. And he emigrated to Canada after a tragedy in his life. He sat down and wrote a poem to his mother to comfort her. That poem was called Pray Without Ceasing. He met another lady after he'd emigrated to Canada and settled in Port Hope. And while he was there, he met another young lady, and they planned to get married. And 3 months before their wedding date, she was baptized in Rice Lake, which is about 15 miles north of Port Hope. And as a result of that, because the waters were so cold, she got pneumonia and she died. He dedicated the rest of his life to the Lord. After he passed away, they found this poem amongst his belongings. And eventually it reached a family in New York who knew a man called Charles Converse. And Charles Converse owned the hardware store and wrote music. They took it to him and they asked him to set it to music. That piece of verse was set to music. It's not known as Pray Without Ceasing anymore, but it is known, and you've often sung the words of what a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. He wrote that poem and that hymn as a result of two tragedies in his life. So whenever you sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," would you lift your heart to the Lord and say, "Lord, bless that little work over there in Port Hope and give them 6 new families." Thank you for your prayers in the past, and I do rejoice in being here in the Martyrs once again this evening. Turning to 1 Kings in the chapter 10, I want to read a few verses from this chapter, and then we'll refer to a couple of verses in the New Testament. We read in verse 1 of 1 Kings 10, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was on in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, was delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice.' And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, and of spices very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon." Amen. We'll end the reading there with the earnest prayer that the Lord will bless the public reading of his own holy, inspired, and infallible word. Before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts this evening, let us just unite in a word of prayer. Let us seek the Lord and pray for the ministry of the word this evening. Eternal God and gracious loving Father, we bow humbly in thy holy presence. We acknowledge thee, Lord, as our God. We acknowledge thee as God alone, and there is none beside thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling of thy bosom, the one of whom thou didst say thou art well pleased. And, O Lord, we are well pleased with Christ also. We thank thee, dear Lord, for the day in which thou didst come in grace and mercy and save our souls, plucking us as brands from the burning. Lord, do the same here this night. Some soul, Lord, only a heartbeat away from eternity, a breath away, Lord, and yet they sit in a gospel house under the preaching of the gospel and they're not saved. May this be the night of their rescue and their redemption. Lord, bless this witness here on the Ravenhill Road, thanking thee, Lord, for every memory of it and all that has been done in the past and that is even being done now. Bless the ministry of the Reverend Brown week by week. Give him unction and power to preach and save the lost. Bless the elders and the congregation. Now, Lord, come. And I ask, Lord, thou wilt grant to me the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit, that I might be enabled, Lord, to preach the word. And in preaching the word, I will preach Christ, make much of his precious blood, and speak well of him and his finished work. We pray in the Savior's holy and precious name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 10. And the verse I would like to leave with you this evening is that verse 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. On a certain day, when the Lord was ministering to a vast assembly of people, he upbraided them for their unbelief. They would not believe that he was indeed the promised Messiah, and therefore that he was the Savior of men. And because they rejected him as Messiah and as Savior, they did not want anything to do with him, but rather they wanted him to give them a sign to prove his identity, to prove that indeed he was the Messiah and that he was the Savior who had come into the world. Would you turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And here is that particular time that the people asked him for a sign. Luke 11 and verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." And then he mentions the Queen of Sheba, or the Queen of the South. "The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And here is Christ, and he holds up Jonas as an example, and how the people of Nineveh, upon hearing the ministry of Jonah, readily believed. And then the Lord said to them, "Behold, a greater than Jonas is here." The men of Nineveh believed the preaching of Jonas, and here I am standing before you, one who is greater than Jonas, and you'll not believe me. Jonas will rise up in the judgment and condemn you. Because the people of Nineveh believed him readily, and yet you will not believe. He gave them another example, another sign, if you wish. And he spoke about the Queen of the South. She came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The utmost parts of the earth. To hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the Lord said, speaking of himself, a greater than Solomon is here. And yet you will not take one step towards me to believe in me. And here the Savior reminded his unbelieving and skeptical hearers that the Queen of the South will rise up in the judgment and condemn you because she traveled from the utmost parts of the earth a great distance to meet with Solomon, but they wouldn't take one step to come to Christ. And there are many, like those whom the Savior addressed that day. And I would go a little further and say there are some in this meeting here tonight. And you will not take one step out of that pew that you now occupy and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you've been given every opportunity to receive Christ as Savior, and yet what have you done? You haven't taken one step toward him. Only a step to Jesus? Then why not take it now? Come in thy sin, confessing to him thy Savior, bow. One step. That's all. One step toward Christ. If you will not take that step, then I want to tell you something. There is a day of judgment coming. It is appointed unto men once to die after this. The judgment. You see, death is not the end. Don't believe that man for a moment who thinks that we live our lives and die and just die like a dog and that's it. After death, the judgment. And the Queen of Sheba, the Queen of the South, will be there to condemn you because she traveled from the utmost parts of the earth to meet with Solomon, and you wouldn't even take one step towards one who's greater than Solomon, the Lord Jesus. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that now. And come tonight to Christ. He's only a step away. He is only a prayer away. Let us look then at this queen, the Queen of Sheba. We notice first of all the queen seeking Solomon. The Lord said the Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba, came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Luke 11, verse 31. Here we see, first of all, her response. her response. Look at chapter 10 of 1 Kings in the first verse. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. Mark the words. When the queen of Sheba heard, she came. You see that? When the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came. Once she heard, she came. She didn't delay. Unlike so many who have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they haven't come. They have heard how he came into the world to save sinners, but they haven't come to him. They have heard how he came to seek and to save that which is lost, and they know they're lost, yet they haven't come. They have heard all about his suffering and dying on the cross of Calvary, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. But they haven't come. What's the matter? When the queen of Sheba heard about Solomon, she came. And you have heard about Christ, why have you not come? Because a greater than Solomon is here. You've heard about his death, you've heard about his burial, you've heard about his resurrection, you've heard about his ascension, you've heard about his coming again. Let me ask you, is there anything more you need to hear? I don't think so. If you've been a regular attender to this house or any other gospel preaching church, I don't think you need to hear anything more. Do you? What more can we tell you? What more can we say about Christ? How many years has it been since you heard the gospel and heard about Christ? How many sermons have you heard? How many messages? How many scripture readings have you sat under? How many gospel hymns have you sung? And still you sit on. Still you will not take even one step. You have heard, but you haven't come. And the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, and she came, and a greater than Solomon is here, and yet you haven't come. Don't forget about the judgment. It's waiting for you. It's waiting. And the Queen of Sheba will condemn you, because she came to Solomon, and you'll not come to one who's greater than Solomon. As well as her response, we notice her reason. We're specifically told the reason for the visit of the Queen of Sheba. Again, there in verse 1, she came to prove him with hard questions. She had heard about Solomon's wisdom, and she came wondering if he could answer all of her hard questions. Whatever she had on her mind, whatever she had on her heart, she brought to Solomon that day. Hard questions. The word hard. The word hard means hidden. Yes, we're told that she brought hard questions, but we're not told what the questions were. And as I said, the word hard means hidden. And what she came to Solomon with are those things are hidden from us. The only person who knew what those hard or hidden questions were was Solomon himself. Nobody else. Hard questions, hidden questions, secret things in her life that she would not share with anybody else, that she would not tell anybody else. But she came to see if Solomon could answer her questions, could solve her problems, could lift her burdens, could meet her needs. Maybe that's where you sit tonight. We sit together, sit beside each other in the Lord's house. But we don't know what's going on in the mind or in the heart of the person beside us. And maybe tonight you're here and there's something hiding in your heart that you wouldn't want anybody to know about. Maybe there's something tonight that's troubling you, and it has troubled you for years. And sometimes you lie awake at night thinking about it. And maybe you wonder, what am I going to do? I can't tell anybody. I don't tell anyone. Listen, there's somebody you can tell. The Queen of Sheba told Solomon, you can tell Jesus Christ. No, you don't need to tell anybody else, but you can tell him. And what the Queen of Sheba told Solomon, we don't know what those things were. And what you tell Christ, it'll not go any further. Some secret sin. Something has happened in your past. You've kept it to yourself all these years. But how you would love to unburden your heart of that matter. That which has troubled you. That which has given you sleepless nights. You'd love to unburden your heart of that matter. Well, you can do that tonight. What do you think of that? You don't need to carry that burden anymore. Maybe you're like the king of Samaria when it was under siege. And the people were starving. Women were reduced to cannibalism. And they thought the king didn't care as he walked upon the wall in his royal robes. And the women went to him to complain. And do you know what he did? He tore his kingly robes, and underneath was sackcloth, the garments of mourning. The women didn't understand and didn't know. They thought the king didn't care, and yet he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. He was a heartbroken king, but he kept it a secret. And maybe you've got sackcloth within upon the flesh. You can put up a cheery front. You can have a smile. But there's something there, and it's troubling you. and it has troubled you for years. But you can tell the Lord. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Listen, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And you can share all your hidden cares and burdens and troubles with Him. You can tell Him all your hard questions, all your hidden questions, all your hidden burdens. But then maybe on the other hand, what you have in your mind tonight are the questions you have are of a more straightforward nature, such as, how can I be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Or perhaps you say, well, how can I have peace with God? How can I know peace in heart and peace of mind and peace of conscience? We have peace through the blood of His cross. There's the answer. Or perhaps your question is, how may I be sure of heaven? Maybe that's something you battle with and are troubled with. You're not sure. You say, how can I be dead on sure of heaven? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You come to Christ, and He's only a step away. Remember? When the Queen of Sheba heard, she came. Now you're hearing tonight. Will you come? Not only do we have her response and her reason, we notice also her resolve. Notice, we are told first of all that the Queen of Sheba came to Jerusalem, verse 2. And then we are told, when she was come to Solomon, she came to Jerusalem, beginning of verse 2. Then near the end she says, and it is written, and when she came was come to Solomon. She came to Jerusalem, she came to Solomon. The point I'm making is that when the Queen of Sheba reached Jerusalem, she could easily have been distracted. She was coming to a city. Many things take place in a city. She could have been distracted. She could have been delayed. She could have got caught up with something else in the city, but that's not what happened. She came to Jerusalem and she came to Solomon. Nothing was going to stop her. Nothing was going to distract her. Nothing was going to delay her. She came to Jerusalem. And when she was come to Solomon, she wanted to see Solomon, and nothing was going to stand in her way. Now I venture to say that if there's an unsaved person here tonight, and you've thought about getting saved in the past, Reverend Brown has preached the word and you've sat there under conviction and you'd love to get saved, but the first thing that came into your mind, what about my friends? What'll I tell my mates in the factory? What'll I say to my workers, co-workers in the office? You've been distracted. And still you sit in your sin. You've let those thoughts come between you and the Savior. Oh, I know, I've been there. before I got saved. I know what it's like. I was there. I thought about this, I thought about the other, I thought about the friends, I thought about my mates. They'll only laugh at me if I tell them I'm a Christian. Until that night, 5th of May, 1969, Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church on a Monday night, I got saved. And I've been saved ever since. I got saved that night. And you know what I did the next day? I worked in Willis Engineering in Portadown. The next day I went into the factory and I went round every man, told them I got saved last night. The very thing that I was so afraid of. Sure, when I went into the factory the next day, I didn't go in alone. The Lord went with me. And He'll go with you. Don't you worry about your old drinking buddies. Don't you worry about those filthy-minded individuals that you happen to work with. Forget about them. You get right with God. She heard, and she came. She came to Jerusalem, and when she was come to Solomon, nothing was going to stand in her way. And maybe you say tonight, well, I would like to be saved, but you know I couldn't keep it. I've heard that many, many times. And the person that said that to me, I say, you are dead right, you can't keep it. No, you don't keep your salvation. The Lord keeps you. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept by the power of God. You have nothing to worry about. All you have to do is come. Take that step, only a step, only a step. When she came, when she heard, she came. So what about you? She heard about Solomon, and a greater than Solomon is here. That's an even greater incentive. Her resolve, her reason, her response, and her reception. How did this King Solomon receive her? Well, we read in the verse 2. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, listen, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. Communed with him. What does that tell us? That tells me she was well received. He certainly didn't keep her out. She was able to commune with him of all that was in her heart. In other words, King Solomon received her without any hesitation. And remember, a greater than Solomon is here. And so if Solomon received the Queen of Sheba without any hesitation, Christ tonight will receive you more warmly and more willingly than Solomon received the Queen of Sheba. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Listen, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. That's some record, isn't it? I tell you more than that. Listen. There has never been a man, there has never been a woman, there has never been a boy or a girl in the history of this world who has ever come to Christ and has turned them away. Never. Not one. Not one. Not a drunkard, not a drug addict, not a blasphemer, not a harlot, not a murderer, not a church goer. He has never turned away one. And Christ will receive you tonight. And you'll receive the warmest welcome you have ever had in your life. So why don't you come? Now you can hardly sit there, can you? Why don't you come tonight? When she heard, she came. Remember the judgment now. Judgment is waiting. And you'll be there as sure as you're sitting in this church tonight on the Ravenhill Road. You'll be there. The queen seeking Solomon, the queen smitten by Solomon. After she can't commune with him of all that was in her heart, the queen was completely smitten by Solomon. Look at verse 3. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. In verse 6, she said to the king, it was true. A true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. She was completely smitten by Solomon. Her meeting with Solomon far exceeded her expectations. Everything she had been told about Solomon, she discovered, was true. They weren't lies. They weren't untruths. They weren't exaggerations. Everything she had been told about Solomon, she says, it's all true. That's the way it is. With the man or the woman who receives Jesus Christ? Were you the man in the pulpit who's a faithful preacher of the word and a faithful preacher of Christ? And you receive Christ as your Savior? You'll go to that minister and you'll say to him, preacher, everything you said about the Lord, I've discovered something. It's all true. Everything you've said about the Savior is true. So when I tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus is a loving, caring, faithful, loyal friend, and you receive him tonight, if I were to be here again, Lord willing, next year, or see you somewhere in a year's time, you would come and say, preacher, everything you said that night in the martyrs on the 18th of March, I have discovered everything you said is true. True and even much more. And if I were to say to anyone tonight coming and receiving Christ, you will rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, you'll tell me later that was true. You'll say every word you said about Christ is true. See, I'm not promoting tonight some dead, dry, drab religion. I'm promoting a living Savior. One who makes a difference to a person's life. One who gives them joy. One who gives them peace. One who gives them life eternal. You think you're living? You think you're living now, going out to the pub on a Friday or Saturday night? You think you're living sitting there with your buddies? You'll never live till you receive Christ. That's when you start living. Because that is not what He gives. He gives life. Abundant life. Jesus alone is the giver. As well as her wonder, you have her word. After speaking about Solomon's wisdom and his wealth and his worship, how he went up to the house of the Lord, we read in verse 7, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me." Boy, that's some testimony. In other words, she found in Solomon more than she had ever been told about him. Not only did she discover everything that had been said about him was true, she found much more. She says, "Behold, the half was not told me." She discovered more in Solomon than she had ever been told. Now think of it for a minute. If the Queen of Sheba discovered all that had been told her about him was true, and if she discovered that all was true and was able to say the half was not told me, then what would you say if I tell you about the one who's greater than Solomon? Greater than Solomon. Then surely you would tell me the same thing. You come and receive the Lord as your Savior and enjoy Him and His presence and His blessing and His peace and His happiness. That's what you'll tell me. You'll say, "Preacher, you didn't tell me the half of it. You didn't tell me the half of it. Because I have found in Christ more than you ever told me." You know why? Because there's nobody like Him. I told my friend Reggie about a man who frequented the church in Newton Abbey when I was the minister. He would come in the evening. He was from a Scottish background. When I'd go and visit him down the road from the church in the Ballyclare Road, we'd sit and talk about the Lord. And as sure as anything, before I would leave the house, in talking about the Lord, he would say to me, "You know, He can't be beat. he can't even beat. And I can say amen to that. Christ cannot be beat. You'll not find another friend like Christ. You'll not find another companion like Jesus Christ. And you'll certainly not find a Savior like Jesus Christ. And should you live for 1,000 years upon this earth, you will not exhaust the riches that are found in Jesus Christ. And I'll go further. If I were to preach to you 1,000 sermons, and every sermon was based on Jesus Christ, I could not exhaust all that I would find in him. I still would not be able to tell you the half of all that is in the Savior. Now, why do you sit there? Week after week, month after month, year after year. Why do you sit there when there's such an attractive Savior before you? And he's only a step away. Her wonder and her word, and you have her wealth. Notice before the Queen of Sheba returned home, she made a presentation to Solomon in verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. This wasn't any kind of payment. This was a gift. This was a gift that the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. I want to ask you to do something tonight. I want you to give Christ something. I want you to give he who is greater than Solomon something. I want you to give him your I want you to give him your soul. No, I'm not asking you to make any payment. For we are redeemed not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're not talking about payments for salvation or anything like that. The Queen of Sheba gave this gift to Solomon before she went home. And could I ask you tonight to give to Christ your soul before you go home? Because I'll tell you something. You give to Christ your soul, you're giving to Christ something that is far more valuable than all that the Queen of Sheba gave to Solomon. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's the value of a soul. Now, what about it? What about those hard questions? What about those hidden problems? What about those burdens you cannot share with anybody else? You've heard about Christ tonight. You've heard about the one who will listen to your problem. You've heard about the one who will lift your burden. You've heard about the one who will meet your need. And he's greater than Solomon. And he's here. This meeting. And all you have to do is come. In the last place, you have the Queen satisfied with Solomon. The Queen of Sheba certainly was not disappointed following her visit to King Solomon. There's never been a person, a man or a woman, who's been dissatisfied with Christ. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever heard of anyone say, I'm disappointed with Jesus Christ? I've been saved all those years and I've never heard anyone tell me that. And the Queen of Sheba was not disappointed with Solomon. And you'll not be disappointed with Christ tonight. For now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's everlasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. And you've heard about him tonight. Now come. The Queen of Sheba came from the uttermost parts of the earth. And here you are, and you're only a step away. You're only a prayer away. In the verse 9, you see her thankfulness. Then you have her testimony. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon to prove him with hard questions. Now, how did she leave this man, Solomon? Verse 13. And King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. A happy woman. The king gave to her of his royal bounty. The king gave to her all her desire. And a greater than Solomon is here. If King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all her desire, what will Christ not give? Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown you the way. Remember? When she heard, she came. Remember? She will rise up in the judgment and condemn those who have not come. Taken one step to Christ. May the grace of God work in your heart tonight and the Spirit draw you to the Savior. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, brother, for coming and issuing that very plain gospel challenge. And let's bow together in prayer. Take that message to heart. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee and we thank Thee for the Word of God this evening. And we thank Thee that in looking to Christ, a greater than Solomon is indeed here. We have heard Thy Word. That aspiration and question in that hymn, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, has been realized by us tonight. We pray for those that are out of Christ, that Thou wilt bring them in. For those that know Thee, may we come to Him with our continued questions and know He careth for us. Come, Lord, and bring conviction, bring conversion, bring that satisfaction that can only be found in the Savior, that care and that comfort too, and seal our brother's ministry. To the salvation of souls, we pray in Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen.